us that we would examine our own heart, my God, and help us to be soft and tender toward you. God, that is your primary desire for us, is to have a love relationship with us. God, may that shine through this message, my God. Father, use me as your mouthpiece. Speak to your people that we would hear from heaven. Our God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. First, maybe I'll start out by asking a question. Now, don't say it out loud because. Okay. Think in your mind, what is the purpose of getting saved? Is it so they can go to heaven? The answer is no. The reason for salvation and the plan of God is to reestablish a relationship between me and my God, like he had with Adam and Eve before sin entered the garden. That was a very special thing that they had with God. They knew, there was no doubt in their mind, who created them. They were thankful to God, because God was really God. Today, we have so many other things in our minds and in our hearts that we get distracted real easy. And the world is against us so much that, I don't know, maybe the thought is hard to hold on to. But God really, really wants to have a love relationship to you and I. Not just saying, oh, I'm saved and that's the end of it. No, actually, getting saved is just the very tip of the iceberg to get started. At least that's what it should be. God was looking for a creature when he made us that would have free choice and that we would choose to have fellowship with him. That was his intent. And that's what he had before sin entered the picture. But once sin entered, it messed everything up. Adam and Eve had no idea what the cost was going to be. Not really. In Genesis, you don't have to turn there. If you want, you can turn to Ezekiel 28:13, and I'll be there in a moment. Genesis 3:24 says, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I discovered something when I was studying for this. Do you know that after Genesis chapter 3, the Garden of Eden is never called the Garden of Eden again? It isn't. It's called the Garden of the Lord, or the Garden of God, or God's Garden. After this point, there are two places that refer back to the Garden of Eden, but only in a comparison, as this tree is so full and beautiful, it is like the Garden of Eden. But the name of the Garden of Eden is never called that again after this. You can't find it in the Bible. The name of it changed. It no longer belonged to Adam. God, when man sinned and God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, paradise was lost. They had no more access. And we're going to take a look at a couple of things that may help us with this idea. If you would now turn to, if maybe you're already there, Ezekiel 28, verse 13. I found something that I thought was interesting. It says, "Thou hast been in Eden." This is a picture of Satan's position before God, in God's presence in heaven. "Thou hast been in Eden." The word Eden here doesn't always reflect the district or the property that God had put on earth. Quite often does. But the word Eden actually means paradise or pleasure. Unfortunately, there were even some cities that were named that had the name Eden in it. Some of the those names meant house of pleasure, not the place that we would go to, okay? But that's what the word Eden means, pleasure or paradise. So this verse starts out by saying, "Thou hast been in paradise," or Eden, "the garden of God." Notice there, it's not no longer called the Garden of Eden. "Every precious stone was thy covering." They're talking about Satan. This sardis, topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, and the jasper. The sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle. In gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Verse 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain." Now there's a, sometimes the word mountain can mean different things. Sometimes it's, you know, a mountain. It can mean a nation. But actually in this text, it actually means dwelling place. It was thought of that the top of the mountain is where God would dwell. So the thought is that the mountain, way up at the top, is the dwelling place of God. Doesn't always mean that. You've got to read it in the according to the text. Okay. "Thou was upon the holy mountain," the dwelling place, as it were, of God. "Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." Now, fire, we just did this Friday with our Bible study. But fire can be a picture of either comfort or of judgment. Normally, it's one of those things when it's being used as a picture. Verse 15, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, the things that you have, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God," or God's dwelling place. In this point, it's heaven. "And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." Now, the Believer's Bible commentary has got this to say about verses 11 through 19. Because if you go back in Ezekiel, it talks about that this is the king of Tyre. But it's also a picture of Satan himself. and they helped to a little bit to clarify this. It says the description of the king of Tyre as the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, as having been in Eden, or paradise, the garden of God, as having every precious stone as a covering, as being the anointed cherub, in having been on the holy mountain of God, taken together, seemed to impress for any great ruler. It was too much. It can't be a human king or ruler. For this reason, many Bible students see in verses 11 through 19 a description of Satan in his fall from heaven, and which I also happen to believe that position to be correct. And you're saying, this sounds kind of skipping around. Well, I'm hoping all this will come together before we get to the end, all right? In verse 17, it says, thy heart is lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Of all of the creatures in heaven, none of them had a position as close to God as Satan did. Son of the morning. He hovered above God. He would spread his wings. And he was like a mirror. He would reflect God's greatness. Problem was, his pride, he thought that greatness was his. But he was just reflecting a great God. Those musical instruments that he had that were built into him sounded music throughout all of heaven. Praise and worship. No one had a place like he had. Lucifer was a wonderful creature before God. And he was right there, right at God's throne to reflect everything. No other creature had that position. And yet he fell. He looked at the beauty he was reflecting and thought it was his own. He had to have been very close to God. God loves his creation. And Lucifer was right there reflecting God's greatness. But you know something? If we choose, as a believer, if we choose and determine in our heart, right here on earth, we can be closer to God than Lucifer ever dreamed of being. But it's something we have to determine in us. I've got to choose God. Whatever it is you want from me, I want to do that. And it's not just the doing. God died on that cross to have a relationship to me and to you too. It cost him his life because he loved me and he loved you. Do you realize that when we go to, right now, I should say, right now, we are sons of God. Even you lady folk, you are sons of God. When we get to heaven and have the marriage of the Lamb, it's kind of neat. Not only are we sons, but we are God the Father's daughter-in-law. We're part of the family. We are the bride of Christ. And yet, we're sons. Now, that seems contradictory to an extent, but no, it's true.
It's true.
We have a very, very special place. We have very strong emotional ties to God. We will then, guaranteed. The problem is, do we now? How close, how soft is our heart today? Now, in the very beginning of this, I hope I didn't skip it, but I had mentioned that the garden was an oasis for Adam and Eve in the land of Eden. In the land of pleasure, it was an oasis. All right, so what's an oasis in this sense? An oasis is found in the midst of a dry, dull, dreary, dead, and desert land. In a barren land, it is a place where water is found. It is a place of green grass and fruitful trees. It's a fertile area, a place of life. To the desert traveler, the oasis is a place of welcome relief. It's a marvelous thing to come upon an oasis. It is there in that one finds refreshment, revival, renewal, rejuvenation, rest, and relief. We live in a world that is very barren. It's very dry and it's dead. It lacks God's life. There is a real need for a spiritual oasis. Your heart can be and needs to be an oasis. Needs to be, with Christ dwelling in my heart as a saved person, I need to be able to find all those things to refresh myself in Christ in my heart. Your home can be and needs to be an oasis for others, family members. We are to reflect God's life, no matter where you live. And it definitely should be found in our homes. A nation such as Israel, when it honors God, can be an oasis to the whole world. But the key to all of that is to be attached to God. And it's not just saying, oh, he's my Savior. No, it's much more than that. Friday, one of the other things that we talked about is that from the very beginning of time, God has wanted to cuddle, to hold on to and cuddle those that he has created. Israel, as a nation, he wanted to cuddle them. He called them, he gave them rules. They wouldn't listen. They wanted nothing to do with God. We too are called to cuddle with God. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you personally went to God in prayer, just you and God quietly communicating? You may have had a problem, or maybe not. But all of a sudden, when you were spending time with God, you absolutely knew his presence was there with you. And such calming. God is cuddling you. Now, ashamedly, I've had that. I wished I had it a lot more than I do. I think the biggest problem is because How soft is my heart when I go to prayer? But I do know one thing. When God does that, when you're alone with God and He cuddles you, and like I shared Friday, it doesn't make any difference what's going on outside. When God comforts you, you feel so warm. God, thank you. You're my God and you're my Savior. How long has it been since you've had that? If ever. Some new believers perhaps have not experienced it. I'm not trying to sell an experience. That's not the point. The point is that cuddling is what God has wanted since day one. Are we seeking to be cuddled by God that wants to cuddle us? You know what? If we're going to serve Him, no matter what the service, should we not spend some time getting some cuddling first? To know our heart is right with God? God, help me to have a soft heart for you. And you know what? All of a sudden, then if you've got to do something in service that normally, boy, I really don't want to do that. That isn't me, but God's calling you. You know what? It's a lot easier when you've spent time with God and He cuddles you and He tells you that He loves you. You know what? When that happens, let's go. I'm ready. What's the task, God? I may not be at all equipped in my own heart and mind to do this. But God, if you say do it, let's go, I'm ready. But there's got to be a time that you spend with God first. And since day one, that's what God's looked for. You know what? When it comes to Israel in the tribulation, when they finally cry out to God, guess what? They're going to have a soft heart. That's what God has been looking for from Israel from day one. He also looks at that for us as well. Now we're going to go back a little bit in our thought back to God's garden. The Garden of Eden was a special place where God could be found, obviously. It was a place where God would bless and benefit man. In that garden, man had a great deal of liberty and freedom. And he had great opportunity for fellowship and friendship with the Lord. It was a very special kind of place. There were house rules, however, God's rules, in the Garden of Eden or the Garden of Paradise. Along with their great freedom, they also had restriction. God laid down the rule with great emphasis of certainty. For in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, most assuredly die. The thought is, in dying, you will die. Physically, they would start aging right then. And eventually it would take its toll and die physically. Spiritually, they got cut off right then. So the two types of death. God laid down the rule, which with great emphasis and certainty. Man did not make the rules, God did. The garden was meant to be a place for fellowship and friendship and to be able to exercise that cuddling on a regular basis. God working, walking with man and man enjoying God. Sweet fellowship. Boy, I wished I could have something like that where I knew that all I got to do was walk to a little garden somewhere and God would meet me there and He'd cuddle me. Take care of me and talk with me. I'd never want to leave. At least I would hope that would be my desire. Now, it happens, but it's not all the time. God help me that it would be more often. When sin came into the picture and severed all that, God gave a promise of a Savior. Adam and Eve believed God. They believed the promise. And by means of sacrifice, they were able to continue in fellowship and friendship with God. But it was not the same as it used to be. God put Adam and Eve out of the garden. Adam and Eve got God back into their hearts by way of sacrifice and faith. Very similar to us today. It is by faith that we believe God. God provided a way to restore that fellowship and friendship. It's us to enjoy that. It's up to us, rather, to enjoy that. It's our responsibility. God has always opened arm. He's always calling us to himself. It's us that doesn't seem to have much desire for it sometimes, I guess. I don't know why. I'm not saying you. I'm talking myself as well. And I think perhaps the worst part of this is you and I at times, our hearts cheat on the Lord. Our hearts drift away. We're not hot for the things of God. We kind of go up and down. And when we're up here, it's like, yeah, Lord. And then when we're down here, it's, eh. I'll go to church, you know, maybe because that's the thing I do on Sunday or whatever. I'll read my Bible, but do I really have a heart on fire for God? It grieves God when this happens. Why? Because he loves you. He loves me. God says he's jealous for me. He doesn't want my heart divided on anything else but fully dedicated to him. So, I'll ask the question again. When was the last time you allowed yourself to be cuddled by God? He's always willing. He's always waiting. It's probably the most important thing in our lives is to exercise our relationship to God. How sensitive are you for the comfort of God? It's not just going to God in prayer and giving him a laundry list of things. God, if you got time, could you take care of these for me? Nah, God's always looking for a heart. God, I love you and I want you to help me. I need to be productive for you. I want to have a love relationship to you the way that you desire of me. Unfortunately, most people tune God out. They're not really interested in that kind of relationship to God. Shame on us. I'll take just a couple of minutes and try to give you a little bit of an illustration. All right, if you look up here, what do you see? Air? And it's invisible, so we don't even see that. People look and say, there's nothing there. There's nothing up there. In reality, there's all kinds of waves that are going through here. If you don't think so, go get a radio, set it up here, plug it in, turn it on, and see if you can pick something up. It's getting the waves from somewhere. The room is full of them. The problem is, unsaved people or people that are out of fellowship, when they tune in, to AM. So they got all these choices as they adjust their radio on AM. And a lot of people think, oh, that's good. As an illustration of having a relationship to God. The problem is God's not on the AM channels. God's on FM. Most people, Catholics, Jehovah Witnesses, a whole lot of them, think AM is okay. Yeah, I got a signal. I hear God. Problem is, when you get saved, God gives you an FM tuner. You can listen to that radio all day and it doesn't do you any good. Now, especially when you're first saved, you're in there and you're trying to tweak that thing in. And, oh, I got something from God. God spoke to me. The FM is working good. I got God. He's speaking. Then as you grow, you find out that it's not just one channel. God has got station after station after station. And God reveals them to us and he talks to us. And we learn from listening to FM. And the whole world just about is satisfied listening to AM. God's calling us into a love relationship on FM. Are we listening? Do we even have a desire? He's a great God. You can't help but figure out he's a great God by reading through the scriptures. Time after time, he's proven himself. And all this because he loves man and man keeps rejecting him. Boy, if God is calling me to have a love relationship to him, the last thing I should ever do is to make light of it and not exercise it. That's what God's called me to do since day one of creation. God made everything, the heaven and the earth, for one purpose, to have a relationship to man. Doesn't look like so far right now that things are going too well. But things will get caught up. God will set it right. But may we be of those that have a heart for God and hang in there till the end. It's the love of God that'll keep us there. May we close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, thank you so much, Father, for your word. God, thank you for dealing in our hearts. Father, help us to love you. God, help us to exercise the cuddling that you desire to have with us. God, thank you. We pray, Lord, that as we go our separate ways, that, Father, that you would bless us and take care of us and nurture us. God, give us all that we need to be successful, believing believers in our Lord Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen.